Okay, so last week we started to discuss some of the misguided trust in our one realm page, in the book on page 8, and in the photocopies on page 3, the second last paragraph. So we had one pasuk last week that said, Lochid Chachamim ba'armam, that a person, if he relies on his own wisdom, schemes, physical strength, or his own efforts, then they will be for naught, they will become weak. And we went a little bit off topic to discuss about the idea that we are all given different sets of abilities and different tools. We do need to use them. We are meant to use them, but the issue is to make sure not to rely on them, as they are the reason why I am getting this and this out of it. Meaning that let's go with the easiest example: a guy that's got, a guy that's a singer. So we have lots of singers. They can sell out like an entire stadium in 30 seconds, millions and millions of dollars. Why? Because Hashem gave them a good voice. If they let that pride, if they let all the money and everything get to them as it being their thing because I have the good voice, then they don't deserve any of it. If they just put Hashem into it, that God gave me a gift and this is how I get to use it. I get to inspire people. You know, there's a lot of singers, both Jewish and non-Jewish, that have got very inspirational songs, and lots of people change because of them. And that, so a person should use the talents that they have, but they need to be used in the correct way. And you should not be relying on your talents to be the cause of to be the cause of your success, be it in wealth or in anything else. So now to the second, it's the second last paragraph in here, the second paragraph here on page 8, Va'oma, and another pasuk that brings this idea, Shafti v'ro'i tachas hashamesh. I returned and I saw under the sun, kilo le kalim hamerot, that the race does not belong to the swift, velo lagiborim hamulchama, nor does the war belong to the mighty, velo lachachomim lechem, and the wise do not have bread. So this is in Koheles, which is written by Shlomo HaMelech, which is basically Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest man ever to have lived. He understood the maximum level of chachma that a human being can understand in this world. He understood the languages of the trees, of the animals, of everything. And he also, most of the psukim in Koheles are like very strong musa. So he says here, I have sat and I've looked at everything under the sun. And he said, and I could see that the race doesn't belong to the swift. So there was a famous kid's story of the rabbit and the hare, where the rabbit and the hare are having this race and the rabbit... the hare and the turtle. But the hare and the turtle are having this race, and the hare thinks that he's going to be so much faster than the turtle, so he goes running to the halfway line, falls asleep for many hours, and meanwhile the turtle manages to overtake. This is what Shlomo HaMelech means, that the race does not belong to the swift. There's many, many ways someone can win a race. Being fast might be an advantage, but it's not what's going to cause you to win the race. Nor the water the mighty, so we know also from the Hanukkah story, we mentioned it last week, that the Hanukkah story was Giborim biad chaloshim, Rabim biad ma'atim, Tmeim biad tahirim. Basically, it was the majorities against the minorities. We had a bunch of rabbis with long beards going out to war, and ultimately they ended up winning because winning the war does not have to do with the mighty. V'loy lachachomim lechem, and the wise do not have bread. This is also something that we saw a very lot, during COVID, when the supplies were running out in the shops, or when the shops were closed, or even during the war when the shops were closed. You can have all the money in the world. If there's no shop to buy bread from, then you don't have bread. So just because you are wise doesn't mean that you will have bread. So he says here, it would be expected that those who are physically strong would win the war. This verse shows that physical strength and intelligence cannot be relied on for success. But then he brings another pasuk.
I think also just because you're wise doesn't mean that you can even have money.
Well, so Shlomo HaMelech, the Medrash, Shlomo HaMelech was offered, there's three presents, actually brings it down here. Wisdom, strength, and wealth. If you have a look at this bottom footnote, so it brings something down, that there's... No, sorry, if you have a look at the top of the next column, the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah states, three great gifts were created, and if a person merits any one of them, he receives the delight of the entire world. If he merits wisdom, he merits it all. If he merits strength, he merits it all. And if he merits wealth, he merits it all. When does this apply? When he sees it as a gift from heaven that is bestowed through the power of the Torah. However, human strength and wealth are valueless. But basically, on the first part, so Shlomo HaMelech was offered any of these things. He was offered to be either the wisest man, or to be the richest man, or to be the strongest man. And he went and chose to be the wisest man, because when you're wise, when you have chachma, then you really do have everything. Because when you have chachma, That is how Shlomo HaMelech used his chachma to also become the wealthiest man in the world, and used his chachma to also become the strongest man in the world, because he was able to build himself the greatest army and everything, because chachma is the foundation of everything. But even with all of the chachma, a person can still not have bread, as the pasuk was just saying. Young lions suffer want and are hungry, but those who seek the Lord do not lack any good. So he says here that the young lions in the verse refer to strong people who rely on their strength. The verse teaches that they are destined to be poor and hungry. On the other hand, those who seek God, meaning those who rely on God, will not lack any goodness. From the above verses, we see that a person cannot rely on his own talent for his success. Only a person who relies on God is guaranteed to be taken care of. Having discussed how a person who relies on his own talents will not be successful, the author now turns to address a person who relies on his wealth. So first we were discussing talents, how clever or how fast or how swift someone can run. Now we're going to talk about money. Ve'im yivtach b'roiv ashrei, if he relies on his abundance of wealth, yusa mimenu v'yishoye lezulasei, it will be removed from him and left to someone else. So the author now brings a few verses to prove this point. K'moish Amar Kosov, Oshe yishkav v'loy ye'osef, einov pekach ve'inenu. A rich man lies down with his wealth intact. He opens his eyes and it is no longer his. V'Omar, similarly, another posuk, Al tigal lehashe mibinos chadol. Do not toil to become wealthy. From your own understanding, you should desist. You should stand back. Va'oma hatoif einecho boy ve'inenu. Before you can set your eyes on it, it is gone. Va'oma bechatzi yomov yazvenu uva'achrisa yiyenovel. At a young age, his wealth will leave him, and at his end, he will be a disgrace. So basically, the point he's bringing here is that money is something that disappears very, very, very quickly. In the 2008 crash, there was hundreds of thousands of people who the day earlier were feeling comfortable, they had all the money in the world, and they had houses in all different countries, and they had everything that they needed and everything. And literally, when at 9 o'clock the following morning, when Wall Street opened, the whole thing just came crumbling down. And these people, some of them, you know, were kicked out of the houses very quickly. There was like a lot of Jews in England who, like, literally went from like the top of the ladder to like literally having nothing. Why? Because wealth is something that is only there as long as Hashem wants it to be there, and Hashem could remove it faster than he put it there, and Hashem does do that. Like we say here, that if he relies on his abundance of wealth, if a person feels more at ease, more safe in what he does, just because he has money, then it will be removed from him and left to someone else. Just going to read the next paragraph. Im oi timona mi menu hanosaboy kash amachochem v'lo yashitenu ho'arikim lechol mi menu. Alternatively, even if the riches themselves are not removed from him, his ability to enjoy the wealth will be withheld from him by God. As the wise man, King Solomon, says, God gives him no power to eat of it. Now, this is also something that you see, that there's a lot of people that have got a huge amount of money, and for whatever reason, they're not able to enjoy the money. There's foods that they're allergic to, so they can't go to restaurant shopping. They can be largely overweight, so they, like, finding clothing where they feel. As in, they have loads of money and they hold on to their money, but they don't have a way of enjoying using the money. And that is also part of the curse. He says that is also part of the curse that Hashem can give someone, that you can have loads of money and you won't enjoy using it. Like, you know, there's people that have to spend all of their income on medication and when they've got someone ill in the family who needs care. People have loads and loads and loads of money coming in, and they're working, and they're not getting to enjoy the money. And that is also one of the curses, that if you're relying on the money, either, like it says, your money can just disappear, or the enjoyment that you get from your money, that can disappear. So now he asks, if God doesn't want him to derive any enjoyment from his riches, why then does God leave it in his possessions? It will be with him as a deposit, so that he will guard it from harm until the time that it will be returned to the one who is deserving of it and for whom it was meant. So this is a very interesting concept. He says that sometimes when you are holding on to money, if you show for whatever reason that you're not worthy of holding on to the of holding on to money, Hashem is going to arrange for you to give all this money to someone else. And it'll basically be like you were looking after the money for this person in the interim. So he says that this concept that sometimes a person is given wealth solely for the purpose of safeguarding for another is supported by two verses. And to the sinner, God gives the urge to gather and amass wealth to give to one who is good before God. The wicked man will prepare and the righteous man will use it, and the innocent will divide the money among themselves. So he says that the verse speaks about the wicked merely preparing for the righteous, implying that the wicked person does not derive any benefit from his wealth. We discuss two possibilities of what might happen to a person who relies solely on his wealth. Number one is he might lose it. And number two is even if he retains it, he will not be able to get benefit from it. Now the author goes further and says that sometimes not only is he not able to enjoy his wealth, but the wealth itself causes bad things to befall him. But just go over the previous point. The previous point was saying that you sometimes see a rasha, and you know the famous question that we see sometimes, sadik v'raloi rasha v'tovloi, that it can appear to us sometimes that the sadik is being dealt with very harshly, and the rasha seems to be having a very easy life. According to this line in the Shaar V'Tochen, where he says, and to the sinner God gives the urge to gather and amass wealth to give to the one who is good before God, meaning that when you see a Rasha holding on to, a whole massive fleet of Lamborghinis, it's only so that one day there's going to be someone that he's going to meet that he's going to have to pass the goods over to, meaning that he just gets to think that he's enjoying it, but it's not really going to stay by him. It's actually going to be moved on, and it's just basically that he's just guarding it and having to go through the stress of guarding it for now. He has to do the hard work. Yeah, he has to prep it all. But he doesn't get to enjoy it properly. So far we've said that a person who has money and relies on it, number one is he might lose it. Number two, even if he holds it, he won't be able to enjoy it. And now the author is going to go on to describe that also the wealth itself can cause bad things. It is possible that his money will be the cause of his misfortune as well as the cause of the destruction of his soul. As the verse states, there is a sickening evil that I have seen under the sun, riches hoarded by the owner to his own misfortune. Until now, the author elaborated on the first spiritual advantage of bitachon, namely that it caused the person to feel at ease. A person who relies on other people or his own talents or wealth will always worry that his success will not last. So on this last point, where he says that the money in and of itself can be the cause of downfall. There's like a lot of people, and I remember when we learned this back in the day. I remember speaking over this example that there's like a lot of people, like you go to like one of these like massive mansions, massive castles, you'll notice everywhere you go there's more and more and more video cameras, and there's every single gate, and you can't go, and they let you into one gate and they don't let you into the next gate. That in a certain sense, and the Shaar V'Tochen brings this up again later, that is part of the curse of money, that you become so reliant on the money that if the money goes, I'm nothing. So these people, the more money that they're getting, the more they realize, or the more they think that they're going to lose all the power if they lose their money. Therefore, they need extra layers of security and a guard dog and a security guard to be on hire. And they need this and they need that and they need that. Because the only way that they can go to sleep at mind, the only way that they can have peace of mind, is if they feel safe. And what's making them feel safe is their money. But they only feel as safe as they feel that the money is. And therefore, they go and invest. And this is really something, he mentions it here that riches can bring you to misfortune. It does. There's many, many different ways of how when someone has got like a lot of money, how it's much easier for him to rely on his money and think that his money is everything, and therefore they then spend most of their lives trying to hold on to the money better. Famously, the big gangsters, they all buy big chains. Why? Because any money that you have when you get taken into jail gets confiscated from you, but any jewelry or clothing gets put away and gets given back to you at the end. So this chain that they're wearing, what is it? It's a sense of security for them that if I get arrested, when I get out, then I'm going to have money that I could live, you know, that I could like live comfortably. Really, we have to realize, you know, that when we're like wrapping tefillin and when we're doing the mitzvahs that we're meant to be doing, that is the equivalent. You know, that is our security pledge. That we're never going to be in a situation where we don't have anything. Because as long as we are on Hashem's team, He will continue to provide for us. Obviously, as we know, that Hashem always gives us everything. But it's just a question of whether He's giving it to us in like a nice way, whilst He's looking, you know, whilst He's like looking at us, smiling, giving it to us, or whether we're having to like scrape it out of the mud. So Hashem always gives us any like everything, but when we're looking out for it and when we are relying on Him and not on the money and everything else, then everything comes in a much nicer and a much more pleasant way. Now the author moves on to list another Torah advantage of bitochan, which is independent. Mehem shabitech berikim yavienu haftachosei olav shelo yavoid zulosei. Among the Torah benefits of bitochan is that trust in God will bring a man not to serve any other entity. He won't need to place hope in man or expect anything from other people. As a result of self-reliance, he will avoid many behaviors that distract him from divine service. He won't need to be subservient to them in order to win their favor, and he will not feel the need to flatter them. He will therefore not consent to spend time with them on matters that are not related to the service of God. He will not be afraid of their wicked behavior, the repercussions of not flattering them, and he will not be fearful of the arguments with them. As a result, he won't feel pressured to join them in their inappropriate behavior. Rather, he will divest himself from their favors and from the bother of being gracious to them, as well as from the obligations to pay them back for any good that they do to him. If he needs to rebuke them, he will not need to be careful of offending their honor, and if he needs to shame them while rebuking them, he will not be embarrassed, and he will not praise their false ways. Basically, it means, he's saying that when you have a level of bitachon, then it just gives you confidence to battle through any sort of situation. If you see someone doing something wrong, you don't need to think twice about what the repercussions are going to be. If you go over to this person and tell him, you know, by the way, I don't think that, you know, that you should have done this, that, or the other. A person who's living with bitachon, he says, won't be scared, because you don't feel the need to flatter anyone. You don't feel the need to, you know, to be scared of anyone. And therefore, you could just say what's real, and not have to worry about the repercussions of all your words, which is part of the peace of mind. We are living in a world where everyone's walking around with all sorts of complexes. Someone can say something, you know, that this person doesn't like. We see lots of Hollywood stars getting cancelled over saying things that two or three people didn't like, and you know, like with like, you know, on like Twitter, on social media, people write something, and within minutes, everyone's giving their pshat, you know, the pshat about whether it was right for this person to say that the person should have used this word, should have used that word, maybe because they used this word, they meant this, that they do associate with this and they don't. And there's so much going on. There's so much going on. People are always so worried about what everyone else is thinking and everything else. And what the Shabbat Talking is saying here is that when you have a level of bitachon, that you realize that everything is coming from Hashem, and that Hashem and Hashem is controlling the outcome of every single thing that has ever happened, will ever happen, is currently happening, then suddenly the more that you zone into that, the more confidence that you have in any sort of situation. Because if you're walking into a business meeting, you're no longer seeing, you know, these three guys opposite you. You're not just seeing them as, you know, as like future clients that, you know, that you need to try flattering them. You just need to go in. You just need to do what you can. You just need to do what you say. The results, and it like gives a person much more confidence in any situation when you're coming from a place of bitachon. Then you sometimes just know when you feel that you're doing the right thing, and therefore you don't really worry about what Yanam thinks of you. Just to read the note that he brings down here: a man who relies solely on other people for his livelihood and success must ensure that he remains on good terms with them so that they will continue to take care of him. This can lead him away from his divine service in a number of ways. He might feel a need to flatter them or even join them in inappropriate behavior, which he would never have done were he not dependent on them. In contrast, a person who has bitachon will not hesitate to rebuke them, even if it requires causing offense. Additionally, if rebuking them requires that he shame them, he will not be embarrassed to do so, since he does not rely on them for his needs. Basically, if he's uncomfortable, you know, you hear very often of people who, you know, their bosses, you know, will ask them to do a job that they're not really so comfortable with, and, you know, they don't really want to stand up to it. Why? Because they're scared that what? They're going to lose their job. If they're going to lose their job, they're not going to have money. What he's saying here is that if you just add in one stage first, then you could cruise right through the situation. And this is what Shabbat Ochman will do all the way through, where he'll give actual example. So he's saying that when you have a level of bitachon, then you don't need to be scared of any of the repercussions of anything that happened. As in, you obviously have to know that the repercussions are going to happen, but you should not stop yourself or hold yourself back from doing anything because you're worried about repercussions. So the example that he brings is if you're worried, if you know your business partner who you're very friendly with, he goes away with you and he's like, you know, let's go have some pork and like the thing down the road. And you're scared to say something. You're scared to say, you know, I think, you know, maybe I'll go and I'll order, you know, I'll just order a Coke. And you're scared to say something. Why are you scared to say something? You're scared to say something because you're worried that this might affect your relationship and this might affect your business, this might affect your money, which means that you're going to hold back from something that Hashem wants over something that your money is dictating. And what he's saying here is that with the right level of bitachon, you don't have to be afraid. As long as you know that you are doing the right thing, you don't need to flatten anyone. You don't need to flatter anyone, and you don't need to be afraid of anyone in the argument. You just need to do what's right, and by doing what's right, you are winning. And I think we'll leave it there.
Sure.
Next week, please God, we'll have the Bitachon card on order and the Bitachon cards.